On the text line, our texter says, I think Des gave the questions the answers they deserved. Journos need to pull their socks up sometimes. And this one on the milking of penalties. Hey, Matty, in my opinion, the only real way to stop the milking is to reintroduce the pocket referee. These players go down because the ref couldn't see the penalty and players slowly seeing how far they could stretch it. So bring back the pocket ref and let the penalties be called at their discretion. Thanks for that. 0457 736 736. Time to talk some tennis now with Brett Phillips, our tennis expert and host, of course, of The First Serve here on SEN. Thanks to Be Solar, where you'll never have to pay another electricity bill. You can learn more about better solar energy by visiting be.solar. Good morning to you, BP.
Matt, good morning.
Fair bit around in the world of tennis after that thrilling US Open that we saw. What about the Aussies out and about as well? John Millman, so he's back in, what, Kazakhstan?
Yeah, he is. Seen last year of his maiden ATP title. He had to wait a fair while. Everyone goes on this different journey in tennis, as we know. So he comes back to Nur-Sultan, along with, I think, James Duckworth will be there, who won a challenger on the weekend, Matt. So he's at a career high 64 now. I think Ebden and Polmans have got a round of qualifying to go. But yeah, we're going to have a chat to John on the first serve on SEN at 8 o'clock tonight. He'll join us from Kazakhstan. So yeah, it's been a bit of a difficult year. And like so many of the Aussies, and in fact, Courtney Walsh, of course, a great tennis writer in this country, has written an exclusive article for our website at the first serve, Matt, on just the travel difficulties of all the Australians right now. Sam Stose has spoken back in quarantine here. John Millman has stated that he doesn't even know when he's going to be able to get back. Obviously, there's, you know, just the Australians in general who are stranded overseas, who are having to fork out a lot of money, and the tennis players are in that same boat just to get a flight home. So all that to play out over the next few months. But right now, he's going to try and defend his title in Kazakhstan this week.
Yeah, it's an interesting point and quite an interesting topic, isn't it? Because the world of tennis, you know, like a lot of sports, but especially your tennis, your golf, for instance, once you're on the road, you quite often stay on the road as well. And so for these guys, they're going to have to continue to move around, which is going to be more and more difficult, or hopefully it's getting more and more easy. But there's no option really for them just to turn home, come back and have a break and reset. So I wonder then, how much does Tennis Australia, for instance, keep an eye on them, or are they rowing their own boat over there?
Yeah, a lot of them are in that situation. I mean, TA has got an interesting situation of their own because the Labor Cup is on this weekend coming, and there's quite a few TA staff that have gone over there who are behind the scenes part of the whole Labor Cup production. So they've got to try and get them home as well. And as this article, which is on our website, as I mentioned, just talks about some of the prices that, you know, players and officials potentially may have to pay to actually get back to Australia. It's crazy money just for a one-way ticket. So, yeah, obviously the season, we've got another, well, if you play all the, say, challenges, those on the second tier, that goes through to the end of October. I mean, Ash Barty's in an interesting situation at the moment, mulling over whether to play these WTA finals. Certainly from comments that Craig Tizer has made over the last few days, Matt, it looks unlikely with the high altitude in Mexico. So last-minute decision to switch it there because they couldn't have it in Shenzhen with no tennis being played in Asia. That doesn't really suit Ash. She's questioning now whether she even plays Indian Wells at the start of October. She is tired mentally, physically, does want to get back home and have some contact with her family. So, yeah, they're in sort of a decision-making process, a lot of our Aussies at the moment.
I actually raised this point when I saw Craig Tizer's thoughts the other day about that tournament there in Mexico and the pressureless balls. Now, something that I threw out to our listeners to say, this is the scenario with pressureless balls, which might sound a bit odd, but for those who aren't in the tennis game, can you explain the difference between what your normal tennis ball that you go down, you have a crack down at your local courts versus these ones?
Oh, you're going to ask me a technical question like this. Well, I'm probably not the absolute expert on this, Matt, but I do know that in Mexico, they play obviously quite a few tournaments through the year in that high altitude, which does sort of affect. It's a bit like if I think of the clay court season, they have a tournament in Madrid on the clay where the balls come through a hell of a lot slower with the high altitude. So it's a bit hard to sort of explain technically. But yeah, it's conditions that a lot of the players, certainly the top eight on the WTA tour, wouldn't really be accustomed to, not playing really in that part of the world, because tournaments there are normally your sort of 250s or, you know, down at your ITF sort of level. So I don't think a lot of them are too fond of going there, even though there's $6 million prize money, which is a fair carrot being dangled for the best to go there at the end of the season.
Yeah, it's another extraordinary performance. And after we spoke so much throughout the US Open about the teen sensations having some great success and some great fun out there, and we've got another 18-year-old taking another big step in Luxembourg.
Well, Clara Towson, we saw her play Barty at the US Open, so she's going to be a star of the future. As we've mentioned before, you know, she's won an Australian Open junior title. I mean, she's gone from 152 at the start of the year to 52 as a result of that win overnight. Beat Yelena Ostapenko, former French Open champion, indoor courts there in Luxembourg. It's her second title for the year. She won in Lyon in France. So she has really announced herself. And behind Emma Raducanu, I mean, she's the next best young prospect that, you know, certainly could be set for big things in the next 12 months. You know, she's gone on a different sort of journey and, you know, has obviously had a bit more of a junior pedigree than Raducanu. So, no, she's tracking particularly well. And, you know, watched the highlights of that match this morning. And playing Ostapenko is no easy feat. I mean, Yelena's a fairly fiery sort of customer. She battled particularly hard. She didn't like being upstaged, I can tell you, by a young 18-year-old, which makes the pain of defeat even more. But that's the way it is. These ones who are now 25, 26 have been hunted down by the 18, 19-year-olds who are just playing their brand of tennis.
Which puts the careers of your Rogers and Serenas and Rafas, etc., just, you know, into an extraordinary perspective that they've been able to maintain that for so long, when now you've got all these youngsters up there trying to chop your legs down. If you make it to 25 and you're still on tour and you've done a few things, you've got 18-year-olds coming after you. Good on you, mate. So Sam Stosur, John Millman, part of the first serve.
Yeah, Sam Stosur. Well, certainly he's had a chat to us at our website, so you can read that there. But John Millman will be on live tonight, and we'll also give the lie of the land domestically here, particularly in Melbourne, with our esteemed Premier, Dan Andrews, giving the roadmap yesterday and what tennis is going to look like. So, yeah, we'll have a chat about that from 8 o'clock tonight.
On you, Brett. We'll be tuning in.
Thanks, Matt.
There is Brett Phillips. Thanks to Be Solar, you'll never have to pay another electricity bill. You can learn more about better solar energy by visiting be.solar. And Brett just touched on an interesting point there about the roadmap out for Victorians. And the key marker will be Melbourne Cup Day. So Dan Andrews is using Melbourne Cup Day as the place to be for Victoria to be getting out of major lockdown anyway. So they're looking towards vaccinations and dangling the carrot that if we can get everything done, then we should be back at home, back and ready to rumble out in crowds, probably restricted for Melbourne Cup Day.